Welcome back to the Misfits podcast. Rated 5 stars on iTunes by Thieves Avery. He says, what did the guy with no arms get from Christmas? Gloves. Just kidding. He still hasn't opened it. thank you very much for that review, Avery. I am joined today by my co-hosts, Mason, a.k.a. Zuckles.
What's going on?
Swagger Souls.
Hello.
Toby on the telly.
Hello.
And of course, a very special guest. It's the sickest cunt in the room. It's Jay Schlatt.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
Very excited.
Guys, to our audio listeners, if you're wondering why we sound muffled right now, or perhaps why there's an abundance of coughing, yes, we have face masks on. A few of us are sick. And honestly, I think we got to take these off, guys. I think we have to accept our fate. We already have the coronavirus. There's no point hiding from it.
A mask isn't going to do anything. Might as well take this thing off.
Mask off, guys. We're here, and we're not afraid of this goddamn hysteria, the coronavirus. Every day there's something new on Twitter. Every day there's some new complaints, some new fear.
It is a lot.
Scare tactic from the government.
It's a lot of hysteria. A lot of theories going around as to, you know, where it started, what it's going to do to us. And, I mean, I think we all know what the real story is.
Well, it turns you gay.
Yeah. It turns you gay. Not only does it turn you gay, but it also kills you if you're particularly old or have any kind of, like, symptom underlying medical conditions.
Because the one thing we don't want is old gays.
Right.
No. Sure. And Toby's going to explain exactly why that is right now.
Well, obviously, because old gays, they don't absorb the lubricant as much.
Okay.
And then it's like...
It's harder to get erect.
Yeah, it's harder to get erect.
Isn't that just because of other issues related with old age, not to do with sexuality?
It
or
still sucks.
It still sucks. Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Guys, it's currently March 13th, for those of you wondering.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, pretty foreboding, man.
This is our last day here in LA. Dude, we've been here for the last week recording podcasts nonstop with multiple guests.
Making like two a day, right?
Two a day.
Mm-hmm. I'm the last one.
We've saved the best for last.
You were supposed to be the first.
Dude,
I was supposed to be the first, but sleepy fits.
I was very sleepy fits that day, and I just couldn't. I'm sorry about that, Schlatt.
It's all right.
He was sitting up here all alone in the podcast.
Literally sitting here. I remember getting a text saying, nah, it's being pushed back. And I was like, okay. And I just went back to sleep. I didn't even know you were up here.
Yeah. No, it was just me on the couch. I was considering doing it myself.
How long were you sitting here waiting?
I was here. Well, Toby was here. Toby was on the, you know, on the little futon over there. But it was just me kind of just twiddling my thumbs.
I'm very sorry,
Schlatt.
For
Fitz to show up, and he never...
Look, but guys, we saved
I was
going to
host
last.
It, but it would have been a mess.
No, it's
we
good.
We saved the best for last.
It's good waited.
I mean, it worked out because not only have, has more time, we've had more time for the virus to progress and kill more people. So
yeah, this is going to be the coronavirus podcast.
We've got more news. Yeah, the
NBA's
done.
Schlatt really wants to talk about it. He's been wanting
really
to talk
and how
about
we stop interrupting him for a second?
I could honestly go on for an hour about this.
Great. That's perfect. So easy.
Take
let's
the stage.
Take it away,
let's start with the Great Wall of China.
Okay.
What happened with the Great Wall of China?
Well, you know how people used to... Was it the Chinese that built it and then would fling dead bodies out
to the other
side, or was it the other people?
Sure,
who would...
I don't even think it was the Great Wall. I just think that was a tactic of bio warfare. People would catapult dead bodies that died of illness into people's fortresses and keeps, and that would spread the illness and kill all of them. They do that in conjunction with the blockade to stop them from getting food and water. So they just fucking die and they just go into the castle.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, because it's like you got dead bodies; it's basically free ammunition, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you going to do? Respect the dead?
And then everybody in the town is like, "What the fuck just was thrown our fortress?"
Because the thing is, they catapulted it and it would land on something, land on the roof, and it's going quick, so it would splatter and break in half and get everywhere, and they have to clean it, and it wasn't very sanitary. They didn't wash their hands, so they all got sick.
The stench must have been awful.
Yeah, but I mean, no one wore deodorant or took baths either, so
I guess
I think people were used to bad smells.
I guess perhaps. Why did we bring up this?
Because they're burning bodies.
Yeah, all over China.
Yeah.
Was it 10,000 they burnt in a day?
All over.
Has there been any footage of, like, drone footage from above of
there
what
has
looks
they
like?
Have like infrared just it's, random it's, hot spots.
You're
well,
kidding.
it's satellite imagery, so it detected a sulfuric compound or something that usually happens when like biomass is burnt.
Uh-huh.
And they estimated that from all of the signatures, it was like in Wuhan there was a like a giant concentration of this gas that was being emitted, and it was captured on satellite, and they estimated that they had to have burned 10,000 bodies in the last 3 days to get that amount.
You're kidding me. A lot of Chinese people that are being burnt right now.
So this is like truly devastating though.
Yeah.
Like this is like, and these are bodies that have died from coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I mean,
I wouldn't put it past them, just be burning regular people, but
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting pretty far. This is like plague. This is some plague ink shit.
Mm.
They banned it in China.
They banned plague ink.
They must be making some money.
Yeah. Well, no, dude, I feel like if this was a plague ink situation, whoever's controlling this shit would be fucked. Right, there's no way he's gonna wipe out everybody. You have to keep it.
Madagascar lockdown,
right.
Dude.
Right.
Well, explain Plague Inc. Because
sure. So Plague Inc. is a game where you have a virus, and you have to evolve it and try and spread it in the fastest, most effective way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, everybody knows who's played it that the best way to play is to try and spread it to everybody without them knowing.
So it's coughing, like very mild symptoms that would be in conjunction with the flu, and then once more than 3/4 of the world population has it,
you
you just make it go, make them go into comas, make them fucking have organ failure,
right?
And that kind of shit. And the whole point is to wipe out the entire world, the plague.
So, are you playing as the virus, or are you playing as a person with the virus?
You're playing as
the
virus.
Oh,
so you click a place to start.
Okay.
You can make it so that it can adapt to survive in water, in air, whether or not it spreads through air, whether it's a parasite, bacterial, viral, or they have like nano machines that were
like little fucking tiny robots.
It's a good little simulation game. Strategy game.
You can upgrade your virus, get a stat boost.
Yeah, you literally
stuff.
Can.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
You know.
And I mean, what I'm saying is the problem with whoever's controlling this thing, Chinese government, not nothing against them.
Of course.
But, you know, they already let the world know that this thing exists.
They're already working on the cure, dude.
Yeah.
You got to click on the little flash.
Someone's
got
to start popping the bubbles, man.
Mm-hmm.
The little blue bubbles, the beakers.
So what are your actual thoughts on things? Like
my
the current update
thoughts?
On the 13th of March, how do you feel about the coronavirus? Do you think it's a lot of it's hysteria still, or are you like actually getting concerned?
I think a lot of it's hysteria, but at the same time, you know, it does seem to be able to kill, especially older people. And, you know, we all have people we know who are at risk here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not taking it lightly.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, this thing, Wuhan is they have factories there. They deal with the biomass. Like they have 100%. Like this is it's came out of a factory, man.
You think this was generated
100%.
Artificially?
I don't think it was generated artificially. They had a it was like a animal testing facility that was 280 meters away from the epicenter of the outbreak in Wuhan.
Uh-huh.
And they said there was a it's hard to believe what's bullshit and what's a conspiracy theory and what's bullshit online, but there are reports of scientists that say they worked at the lab and they were dealing with infected bats. It jumped from the bat to people because they had terrible safety standards and they were urinated on by the bats. They were bled on by the bats. They were bitten by them.
Wasn't there something about the bats being used as like some kind of fancy
soup?
Soup. Yeah.
Bat soup.
I heard that's complete bullshit and isn't a thing.
What,
soup?
I don't know. I heard that is not at all how
Yeah, but
it's
where
done.
Did you just hear that?
I don't know. Someone on
Twitter.
Someone
on Twitter.
I've seen that on Reddit.
Like,
someone was talking about how there are just people that are like blaming it on the Chinese people consuming this bat soup when in reality it was nothing to do with it.
There's a lot of theories kicking around. I was in an Uber the other night, and my Uber driver was telling me that like it was all simply a big government distraction to distract from the fact that the U.S. has just signed some kind of peace treaty with Syria, I want to say. I don't know if that's...
I have no idea.
He could have been on crack cocaine. I was just
kind
of like...
I think he was. You never read...
I'm not saying I believe him. I'm more just saying that there's a lot of different things kicking around in terms of what people think
everybody
is going on.
Everybody thinks they know what happened.
Well,
nobody
hear about any of
happened.
The protests that are going on anymore. It's just the virus, man.
It's just all about the virus. I think his main point was like, this is in the forefront of everyone's mind, and no one's really paying attention to anything else.
Exactly.
Which is definitely...
It's just a diversion tactic.
Perhaps.
To distract you from what's really going on.
Exactly, you know? Man. The man is behind all of this. I don't know. I would like to believe that it's simply just a bit of a flu.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see.
I wonder if it's going to recirculate, if it's always going to be a thing that we're going to deal with.
I don't.
Might be.
I really see this going away.
And is it going to evolve like the flu does every year?
Well, they say heat kills it, right?
Heat?
Hmm?
Extreme, like warm temperatures and really cold temperatures kill it off, apparently.
Summer or winter. Just wait 6 months, guys. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm betting that by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be mostly died down. Or maybe it'll be worse than ever. It'll be very interesting.
It might be worse than ever.
Yeah, stock market, Great Depression levels.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple months before it starts dying down, I think. Mm. And so as long as we get it out before then, you know, we're fine. We'll see. Good.
It could be a year flat. You never know. We are the misfits after all.
That's true. That's true. But I remember shit like Ebola, right? Like,
yeah.
I was in New York City when that was happening, and everybody thought that was going to be the end of the world. But it turns out you have to, like, do a fucking ritual dance and share blood to have that affect you.
Right.
And so one person took it to America and no one else got it.
Wait, what is this ritual dance and blood thing?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever
it's just really, it's really hard to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Ebola.
Yeah,
you have
yeah.
to, like, have their blood go through an open wound mm-hmm. or something like that.
So that was, you know, it's not all what it was talked up
yeah,
to be.
Ebola doesn't have a 2 to 14 day incubation period where you're still infectious.
Mm.
Right.
Which is the problem.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
Because you could walk around and be infecting like 20, 30 people a day for a week,
yeah,
and you have no idea.
You have it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, our joke has been that, you know, since the coronavirus thing has happened right when we arrived in LA, that we've just been infecting slowly, like, all the YouTubers that we've had on this yep. podcast, and they're now going to their groups and infecting them.
Although, oh, dude, it'd be so funny if every fucking YouTuber yeah. in
if
LA,
we gave every YouTuber yeah. coronavirus.
I mean,
it's a story.
That would be a story.
Every YouTuber that happens to have been on our podcast just starts dying off.
How has your time in LA been, Sean?
I mean, It's been good. I mean, we are chilling up in the Hollywood Hills. I can't really complain.
There's plenty of snacks.
I feel like I'm pretty well taken care of with
yeah.
you guys.
Mm.
And yeah, it's a fun time.
We had an interesting night last night, didn't we?
We did. I made some money last night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah. A good $3,000.
What?
Yeah. It was the long con, Toby. All right,
$3,000. Let us know how you made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. So out of the mind vice of manager Ryan P, he comes up with this game, this hilarious. I mean, like, this is just the best game of all time. It's called Pick the Pocket.
Pick the Pocket.
Pick the Pocket, dude.
Pick the Pocket.
We've got shitty Jeopardy music playing on the Chromecast.
It
in
was,
the back.
It was, do you want to be a millionaire?
Yeah, who wants to be a millionaire?
Yep.
And so one of us has, someone's got a tactical fucking vest,
yeah.
right? And it's got 7 different pockets on it.
Yep.
And so the idea is you put some kind of paraphernalia in all the pockets,
mm.
and then the contestant has to pick, and they
yeah,
smoke
one pocket
or
has a cash
whatever.
Prize.
One pocket has
yeah.
a cash prize, and the rest have various levels
be,
of weed
yeah,
consumables.
It could be a joint, or it could be a big joint with keef and oil, or it could just be a gram of wax,
or
it could be 1,000 milligrams of edibles.
Yes,
could be
dangerous
and that's
game.
The gamble,
an honestly dangerous game that I was very nervous to play because if I got that 1,000 milligram, then it would be bad.
Yeah, but and so every night, you know, me and Swagger would be playing pool, and he just, you know, he's got a joint,
and I go,
¿Quieres?
Yeah,
right?
¿Quieres?
You can only say no to that so many times until the point where it's like, fuck it, right?
Yeah,
sure. I was pretty much peer pressuring you under the guise of irony.
Yeah, but it's fine because Swagger was like, what's your actual number, like a dollar amount?
Because I told him, I go, what would your hypothetical amount be to yeah. like participate in the game where yeah. you could even win a cash prize and not even have it, just to participate in the mm-hmm. gamble? Because like, it's not like how much money do I have to pay you to smoke weed, it's how much money do I have to pay you to take the risk between smoking a joint or having a 1,000 milligram edible or just getting money. Yeah. Right. Because I thought it would be interesting to put a price tag on that rotation. It's like, it's like buying a CSGO case.
So you let,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You let the businessman know exactly how much demand there was for him to do this, and he figured out that, oh, I could actually make a profit off this.
Because he told me to say a number, and I said, $5,000. Is $5,000 reasonable?
Yeah.
To which he replied, yes. Yes, of course it's reasonable. And then the next night, I asked him again when we were going to do Pick a Pocket, and I said, you know, is $5,000 really your minimum?
And yes, reverse negotiations.
Like, I said, you know, I think maybe $3,000 would be more fair. You know, and he goes, yeah, yeah, I think so. I go, man, even $2,500 would be more reasonable.
And I was like,
yeah. And he's like, yeah.
I guess.
You're
getting
pretty low, but okay.
But, you know, so we stopped at $2,500 and and then I guess we shook on it.
Well, yeah, and then I was brought into the discussion because Swag is like, I don't really want to pay $2,500. He's like, Fitz, surely you chip in for the $2,500.
Well, no,
because
I went to Ryan and I said, dude, I'm not doing $2,500 fucking dollars just to schlad.
Yeah.
I go, I need you to pitch in too. He goes, if you get me two more people to pitch in, I'll do it. And I said, all right. And then I went to Fitz and I said, Fitz, pay up. And he said, okay. And I said, Ryan, I can't find a fourth. And he said, it's fine. We'll split it three ways.
Yeah. So
to which we didn't split three ways because your PayPal was locked and you couldn't pay him. So I had to pay him $900 and then Ryan had to pay him $1,600.
So I still haven't actually paid anything for this.
So.
But I will, guys.
You owe me $900.
I will. And you know what's going to help with that?
Gamersups.gg.
Of course.
You say it, say it, say it.
Code Misfits. 20% off. Code Misfits. Gamersups.gg.
It's probably still 20% off.
It's got to be 20%.
Is it changing? Are they?
It's normally 10%.
It's normally 10, but it's 20 for the time being.
If you're lucky, it might be 20% off a GamersUps.gg.
Hey, man, just check.
Yeah.
Just check.
Figure it out, guys. Thank you for supporting the podcast, GamersUps. Anyway, back to Pick a Pocket.
Yeah. So I picked a pocket, and I won the $500.
as well, a joint. Because
well
we weren't going to let you get off that
fucking
easy. We just paid you $2,500. You got to see you smoke some weed.
Well, the rest of us, like a couple other rounds of Pick a Pocket happened first, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, you did.
We were gathered around on the couches. Like, everyone was either already stoned or just kind of fucked and tired. So we had this very sleepy stoner audience just gathered around this L-shaped couch. Well, a very like energetic Ryan P, and like you were fully kitted out in what you're wearing currently with a vest on top.
And a helmet.
And helmet, of course. We're filming, and I think like Mitchell was like switching between various music on the
Mitchell
TV.
Mitchell had the Chromecast and the fucking camera at the same time.
So he'd be playing like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire theme while Ryan's talking, and then quickly switch it to like intense music.
Yeah, we did Find a Friend where you FaceTimed Travis.
So, for my Pick a Pocket round, I go up there, of course, and I shake Swagger's hand, and it's very exciting. A little awkward, you know, but it was fine. And I just couldn't pick a pocket. I just couldn't decide which one to pick.
Yeah.
And I just had to phone a friend. So
they all looked very enticing.
They did look
very
enticing.
They all looked the same.
Yeah. So I whip out my iPhone and I, who do I call but my very good friend Travis. I FaceTime him.
Who was literally on the couch.
It was literally
and
five.
You're standing right there.
He was 5 meters away from me, but I just felt like I needed to call him. So I called Travis. He's like, hey, buddy, what do you need? I'm like, Travis, I need your help. I just simply cannot pick a pocket on my own. He's like, okay, I got you. Number four. Okay, so of course Travis is giving me the pocket. I pick number four.
No. You forget. When you hung up after the FaceTime and have already decided on number four, Travis goes, three.
Yeah, like that. He just says three.
Immediate confusion. I'm like, oh, do I go with his original choice? He's now telling me three. I decided to go with what he told me on the phone because it was phone a friend.
Yeah.
Pick number four. And what comes out of the pocket? But a very, very, very spicy, like blunt, gloss tip blunt, just wrapped in keef. I'm sure there
had the little resin dabs on it.
Resin dabs on it. Yeah, it was just an absolute beast of a boy.
You had to smoke the whole thing.
And I had to smoke the whole
thing myself. Whatever you get, you have to consume the entirety of.
Yeah,
fuck.
You can't pass that shit on.
Fuck that,
which might be explaining why my cough is so much worse today. But you know, it's Pick a Pocket. I obey the rules.
Yeah, you gotta play.
I took my seat in the chair there in the audience, and I lit the blunt, and I smoked it, and I watched the rest of the show. And then, Schlatt's round, I guess, could happen next.
Yeah.
How was your joint experience? How was smoking marijuana for the first time, Schlatt?
I think it was all right.
You didn't really seem too phased at all. Like,
no,
you know.
I think
did you have to smoke the whole joint?
He had like maybe 10 to 12 hits over the period of
over
3 hours.
Yeah. Oh no! Yeah, it was more than an
hour.
Yeah,
it was like 2-3 hours where yeah. you were just kind of testing the waters.
Definitely right. enough for like a first time user to get high, you know, yeah. get yeah. like pretty high.
Would you say that you got stoned? Because for a while yeah. you were like, yeah. I'm not feeling anything, man. And I was right. like, you should have some more.
And I think when, while we were playing Pick the Pocket, I guess I didn't get the inhalation right. Or,
yeah,
or
you Elon Musk it to begin with. You kind of just right. got the smoke in your mouth and blew
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, yeah. And so I didn't do it right. And so for like 45 minutes afterwards, I was like, what's going on?
Just waiting.
I just, point, all maybe. I feel like is I just made $3,000.
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah,
riding
yeah.
that high.
And then we're playing pool and Swagger's Kiera.
Yeah, you know, and I was like, you have to fill your mouth with smoke and they go yeah. like that and just yeah. inhale it. And then I made them hold it, which is like the easiest way. It really right. doesn't do anything.
Doesn't
the more
do
you
anything.
Hold it, you get 2 seconds and then it's all
yeah.
in there. But it's just good for people that haven't smoked before to... And then holding it in makes it so they're actually putting it in their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you did end up getting a little bit high. How would you describe the feeling?
I don't know how I'd describe. I mean, it was. I think it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like I've never been opposed to it, right?
Sure.
Like it's just the fact that I had never done it or just wasn't interested in it was purely because of who I grew up around mm-hmm. and like what I just enjoyed doing, like sitting at home playing Xbox and shit. Like I grew up in the computer club, right?
Yeah.
I was making robots and shit and just wasn't around that kind of culture.
It's funny because like the stoner culture is very much all about sitting around and playing Xbox too. So
yeah.
it kind of yeah. works out well.
You get high and make a robot, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, yeah, it's obviously one of those things that you just like, you weren't opposed to. It's just something you
yeah.
just had never been introduced to before.
Right.
So this was your introduction,
and
I guess.
$2,500, $3,000 is pretty good incentive,
that's
I'd say.
Honestly, I wish I got paid that much to smoke weed. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That was yeah. the long con, dude.
That was
if
the
I,
long
yeah,
fucking
dude, if
con.
If I, so now, from now on, if I go, ¿quieres? Would you maybe go,
yeah, I consider
ooh, si, señor?
Yeah.
Mm.
What does quieres mean?
Want some?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a meme that
yeah,
we probably
it's like,
overuse.
It's like, it's like a little Labrador puppy, the golden retriever puppy, and it has the hand. It goes, whoosh, quieres?
Yeah, yeah, you use Facebook, right?
No.
I saw it right underneath my grandma's Minion meme. It was
anyway.
Really it was really cool. It was like... Yeah. Oh, if I had a cent for every time I wanted chocolate, I'd have $1,000,000. And then it was like a minion going like...
That's so funny.
Chilling in a hot tub with some money.
Grand, always with the good memes.
Dude.
Comedy
dude,
legend.
Granny.
Comedy legend.
Yeah. And then, you know, it lasted for a couple hours. And I sat down by the television and we watched some Japanese dude make knives for...
That's right.
Yep.
Better part of the night.
That's right. And then you ordered ice cream.
I did.
How did
I
the ice
saw
cream...
you got ice cream and then I'm like... That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, I could go for some ice cream right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some ice cream. And
do you think it tasted better because you were high, or did you not really notice
the
difference?
I mean, I never had the flavor before.
Okay. Mm. Did it taste good, though?
It was good. It was enjoyable. Nice. Yeah. I watched it.
Slightly more enjoyable than average?
Well, the reason I ask is because food tends to taste pretty insane, especially when you're new to weed. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I first started smoking, like, food was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's weird. When my friend from college first started smoking weed, he would get really high and then look through his cupboard and see what snacks he could make out of what he had. He had saltine crackers and Dijon mustard,
oh,
and
God.
He said it tasted amazing. And he said it was the best
shit.
Thing he probably ever had in a while. And then the very next day, while he was sober, he made the same exact snack, ate it, and immediately spit it out and said, what the fuck? I ate like 16 of these last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fucking terrible.
It's the only way you can enjoy shapes.
Shapes.
Shapes. Yeah, I don't know. You went through a whole fucking pack of them.
I did. Yeah. I don't want to go through the spiel again. I mean,
what's your opposition to shapes? Why do you hate them so much?
Opposition to shapes is just they're like, I don't know. They were all that was there in Australia, and I was just surrounded by mediocre food, and this was just another thing that was there, and I was hungry. You know.
Just to the audience at home, we're not actually just talking about geometry here. We're talking about a very popular
yeah.
Australian snack called shapes.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
just like a little cracker with some
yeah.
flavor on it.
And every shape is a different flavor.
Exactly.
And a different shape.
Exactly. Schlatt yeah. kind of had some kind of affinity, some strange affinity with
yeah.
shapes when
well,
he visited us in Melbourne.
Just fucking pissed me off, dude.
A love-hate relationship,
like,
perhaps.
The size of the box is like... You feel like an absolute pussy if you don't eat all of the shapes in there.
Right.
But it's
a lot.
You
feel awful at the end.
It's a
good amount.
It's just big enough for you to think, I can do this on my own. Yeah.
And they're crackers as well. So, like, they're pretty dense. They fill you up.
Yeah, they're really
yeah.
small.
Yeah. So no more shapes for Schlatt.
No more shapes. Is I mean, I'm not going to lie. The knife videos were kind of hitting a little different.
Yeah?
I usually enjoy them. Like, I've been watching the channel for a while. Kiwami Japan.
Yeah. I saw you squinting at the fucking TV monitor.
Trying to figure out, because he does weird shit to make the knives. I'm like, what is that a cow and water coming out of it?
Yeah, a puzzle. Okay, well, I mean, so yeah, it was your first time. Yeah. You got out of the way. You made $3,000. Pretty good.
Made $3,000.
Well, Schlatt, for the listeners at home that aren't familiar with you, would you like to give a little bit of a brief history?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'm Schlatt. Hey, guys. I got my start making YouTube videos in around sixth grade.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I was big into Freddie W., Quarter Digital, those guys. And, that Quarter Digital is really the only channel that I've continued to watch consistently.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd, me and my buds would run around our house or our school and just do finger guns and do a little recoil, and we'd pop it into Windows Movie Maker and add like a single frame of a muzzle flare. And it had we didn't know how to like remove the black. So it would just be finger gun and then just a black square with a muzzle flare on it. And nice. We'd add in some, laser sound effect or something. And, I did that for a couple of years, and I got 38 subscribers, and I was
epic.
Hey, maybe, maybe I should move into gaming, because I was a fan of KYR Speedy and Vanos and them, and so as I was getting into high school, I made the transition into more gaming stuff, and then
you're making gaming content in high school?
So it kind of changed every grade. So I want to say ninth grade, which is freshman year, I was into gaming funny moments, so like GTA 5 is in full swing and kind of had a resurgence at this point, but GTA 5 was in full swing, so I was doing that, funny moments, some subtitles here and there, and 10th grade was when the montage parodies were starting, so dudes like Pyro Cynical, No Fuckers, those guys, and I kind of followed
Snipers.
Suit. Yeah, Snipers.
Snipers
too.
Is my
Snipers.
Fucking favorite.
And so that was fun. And I followed suit again in like 2016, 11th grade with commentary.
Okay.
And then in 12th grade, senior year, I kind of moved into more, I guess, thoughtful, intellectual stuff. So I would write a script, talk about, a certain game or
right.
or TV show or
more
something.
More essay style content. Would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, more essay style right. stuff. Mm. And so I continued to do that for the better part of a year or two. And on the side, I do a weekly live stream of me playing whether it's Roller Coaster Tycoon or OpenTTD, which are really old, like transportation games from the 90s.
Boomer games.
Yeah, pretty
still
much boomer
very fun
games.
Games.
Yeah. Yeah, but they really do hold up. Mm-hmm. And so every week I do this live stream, and I realized I was pretty good at it. Like it was a good source of income. I was working IT for like, $10 an hour. And I'd realize that, hey, I could do this. I could do one or two streams in a month and make more than I'd make an entire week of working the shitty job where I just pick up the phone and have to go across campus to turn off a computer and turn it back on.
And you were streaming on Twitch or did you?
Fuck that.
Did you start on YouTube? Or?
This was on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, this was on YouTube. Right. And I got an opportunity with Carson, who reached out to me and said, hey, we're doing a Minecraft server. This was pretty much exactly a year ago at this point.
Yeah. And how did he find you, do you think?
I don't know.
Stumbled upon you and sent your DM? Or
he DM'd me, and I had never spoken to him before. Minecraft. Well, because I had made a video called A Tribute to Minecraft.
Ah, I see.
Which is basically this, essay of how I grew up with Minecraft and how, the game is changing and, our lives are changing. Some
that was your
shit.
Video?
Yeah, it was my video.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
Because that video blew up a fair bit, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Notch saw it. Notch retweeted it while I was sitting at my fucking desk IT job. And
Jesus.
I was like,
I watched that video a while ago.
You had no idea.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it was me, dude.
Hey, man, good video.
Me. Thank you. Yeah, and so as I was doing that, and the stream was growing on the side, and I got this opportunity for a live streamed Minecraft server, the stars kind of aligned. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to move to Twitch. I'm going to make a little live stream highlights channel. And turned out to be a pretty good decision.
Definitely. Yeah, I can remember seeing your live streams from like way back early, I think, I don't know. You would have had less than 1,000 subs when I started watching you on Twitch.
Yeah.
And just, I remember thinking like, okay, Schlatt's got the goods. Like, you were just very good at running the live stream and keeping it moving.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like you were fast paced, like trying to reach for content all the time. It was just this very relaxed, like calm, pretty confident vibe.
Thank you.
Very good at just talking, very peaceful content.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I see it as, you know, I was doing this shit since sixth grade.
Yeah.
So like everything I had done up to that point, I was pretty well established, I guess. I had like 100,000 subs about a year ago.
Yeah.
And when this happened, I think, you know, it's a great opportunity and I was prepared for it.
Mm.
And so it kind of just worked out.
That's How many great. Subs are you at now?
About to hit 600,000.
Damn.
On the live stream highlights channel, and you know, 500 on the main channel at this point.
Mm.
I have a Call of Duty commentary channel.
You
that's
do
got,
the weekly slap,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's called the weekly slap, which is basically me, you know, harkening back to the old school Call of Duty days, like CNNers and Woody's Gamer Tag and shit. And you know, filling a spot that hasn't really been filled in a while.
That kind of content is so precious, I think, on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dying art now.
Yeah, it is. Cool, and it's cause, and it's all because of what YouTube like wants to see now. I think if I could have made a living doing what I was doing on the main channel with like more thoughtful stuff, I would have.
Yeah.
But it's just so obvious like what YouTube wants to see. They want you to shit out, you know, long 10-minute plus videos frequently.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, it kind of makes sense to do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess the good thing about like having a side project like the Weekly Slap is that it is a side project and you don't actually do it every week.
Yeah.
But,
no, I don't.
But, you know,
monthly slap at this point.
But even though YouTube doesn't necessarily want to promote that kind of content, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty easy to make as a sit down commentary video. I'm sure you put thought into what you're saying, but like, you know, it's not like you have to edit a whole bunch or anything like that. So
yeah, it's a good side project.
Yeah.
Pretty fulfilling. I mean, I'd say it's one of the favorite things I do.
Yeah, cool. I can kind of sense that as well. And the comment section definitely appreciates it. Like when I look through the comments on that channel, everyone's like, man, I'm so glad that you do these videos. I think it helps a lot of people. So right on, Schlatt. Right on. Let's talk about like Lunch Club and how...
Oh, sure,
like,
yeah.
How like this sort of came about. And
so... Everything. As SMP Live, which was the Minecraft server we were on about a year ago, continued to grow, there were just talks of, you know, hey, let's start a group or at least a podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, the Goopcast is what it was called. And it was just basically a revolving door of some of the characters from SMP Live that would come in and just shoot the shit for an hour and you know, have a good time.
Yeah.
And so I was introduced to these guys through SMP Live and so I got on a few podcasts and at some point it evolved into a more defined group.
Yeah.
And it took a very long time for that to happen. But you know, we're finally a year later, we're finally,
was that a difficult process to get a refined group? 'Cause how many people were there? Rotating in and out of the group.
There was a good 10 or 15. I mean,
yeah.
I felt a little detached from it because I was only introduced to these guys from SMP Live. And so I felt like I was removed from the situation and not really in control of like who is a part of it or not.
You felt like the new guy.
I mean, I felt like I was the new guy. Right. And I was for a bit, but now I'm feeling very comfortable with these guys.
You guys have great chemistry.
With
SMP Live, I mean, that's kind of how we met as well, I guess. Initially was through this insane server, which really took off on Twitch and got this insanely strong community behind it. What was it like sort of being there from the early days and watching that grow? Like, how do you feel about SMP Live now?
Man, it was such a crazy, like, I think the timeline of it just worked so well.
Yeah.
Because everyone was, I think Minecraft was due for another rebound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with a tribute to Minecraft, not to, you know, suck my own cock here, but, you know, if you look at Google Trends, the month where a tribute to Minecraft came out is like where Minecraft started going back up a little bit.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah, it's all me, dude. It's all fucking me.
It's fine.
I take 100% credit for the revive of Minecraft.
I mean, honestly, you're joking around, but it very well could have planted a seed in a lot of people's minds. Like, oh yeah, Minecraft is a great game. Like, yeah. Let's go back to it. Yeah. And then you saw things following after it, like the
PewDiePie's entire series. Oh,
PewDiePie's series, and of course, Keemstar's Minecraft Monday tournament, which is interesting little thing. And I mean, yeah, SMP Live like obviously started a bit before that and was massive for it as well.
Yeah,
explain what SMP Live is, I guess, to people at home who might not be aware. Yeah.
So SMP Live was a Minecraft server where if you were playing on it, you had to be live streaming. So this led to I think it just kind of worked out, because live streaming has been on the come up for a while, with like people like Ninja streaming with fucking Drake on Fortnite. Like people finally knew what live streaming was and were kind of catching on to the idea of it. And so the fact that Minecraft is coming back, but it's in this new fresh format and not, you know, in 500 part let's plays, and instead, you know, you see everything too, right? Like a Minecraft video would typically be like, okay, guys, you know, I spent some time just mining, right? And now I'm back and we're actually going to do something. But you actually see the whole process, right?
Yeah.
And so it's very real.
And the great thing about Minecraft is that it's a great social game and it's also a great casual game.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So when you're live streaming it, you can have this great social content where you're improvising or you're riffing off each other and, like, you're trying to, I don't know, make bits and things like that.
Yeah.
But you can also just go in a cave with some chill music on and hang out with your chat, and it's very enjoyable to watch as well. So it's like this great balance of, like, you were able to, you know, keep the content going for a long time, because it could be high energy, it could be low energy, and it's still Minecraft at the end of
the day.
Of
the coolest parts about SMP Live was like the highlight videos people would make, where it was like jumping it was like, this is what happened on SMP Live today, and it's like, you know, you'd see everyone's perspective of, like, the pranks that were happening and all that, and it was so fun. Like, just witnessing all that.
When season two?
That's not up to me. I mean, I'd like to see
Cooper's over there on the couch shaking his head vigorously. His hair is practically.
It was Cooper's idea.
Really?
It was Cooper's idea in
the
first place
server.
to start an SMP. And Carson was like, yeah, no, it's probably not going to work. But
so why not a second season? Why end the first and never let it come back?
Well,
I don't know.
Let's figure out why it ended kind of in the first place, I guess.
Well, I think it ended partly because of the reason it got popular in the first place is that there was a lot of different people in the server.
Yeah.
And they all played in very different ways. And so part of the draw of it in the first place was, I can watch Schlatt pretend to scam people and make a fake cryptocurrency called Schlattcoin, or I could watch this dude who is, you know, building the Statue of David.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different things going on. I mostly just fucked around.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people who took it pretty seriously.
Right.
And I guess to a certain point, it got a little too big. There was a bunch of different people that I guess towards the end I wasn't even really familiar with.
Yeah. And a lot of conflicting ideas as to how the server should be run or
the rules
should
also be, it just didn't feel as familiar anymore. You know, as it grew and as you know, as I was still in my little alcove of just not building anything and just doing bits. You know, there was this fucking city emerging, and I felt less and less part of it.
How many people were on SMP Live at the end?
It would have been a few hundred, right?
Yeah,
it was
100 or 200 people at the end,
which is crazy.
Because like at peak times, there was like 100 people on the server.
At peak times, I'd say, you know, there's probably 10 or 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least like the average was like 5 or 10.
Okay.
On at once, but there were a lot of people coming in and coming out constantly. I remember watching, and I think kind of jumping into one of the later streams, where it was you and Carson, and you were trying to run for mayor.
Oh yeah. We kind of just shoehorned ourselves in. We announced to the server that, hey, we are going to have a presidential election.
Yeah.
But it's only going to be Schlatt at the debates, and you can only vote. You can only vote for Schlatt. And it was all, you know, at the end of the day, it was all just a plot to sell merch. So
the Schlatt 2020 merch, right?
Yeah. So we got the job done, and that Schlatt 2020 merch is more meta than ever, dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that dude. Shit,
everybody's going crazy about the election right now. And so it's the perfect time to capitalize.
Dude,
you
know? I'll be your running mate. Swag Swagger 2020.
Let's fucking do it, man.
100%. I've got my.
And then I'll kill you as you go into office after the first year. So that way, no one's too suspicious, and then I'll be the president.
Right.
I've got my Schlatt 2020 mug at home and my hat as well. I wear them proudly. Yeah, that stream was very funny because it was like, you guys sort of were just like, you just decided that you were going to be mayor.
Oh, yeah. And people didn't like it, too. People did not like it. People were not on the same page. Really? And that's the thing. Like, there's a bunch of different ways people play on the server.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our buddy Josh was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And then he's like into government and shit. Mm. And, you know, he's big into American history and this kind of stuff. And so, you know, Schlatt comes in and he's like, hey, I'm going to be the president. You have to vote for me. And he's like, no, I'm just gonna log off and stop my stream. And everybody on Twitter was like, what the fuck are these assholes doing? Fucking Schlatt and Carson ruining SMP Live. You know?
Yeah.
What? Was there a lot of drama in SMP Live?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody was still on the same general page.
Yeah, at the end of the fucking day, you just sit in your room playing Minecraft, drinking Red Bull, or Gamersubs.
Or Gamersubs.gg, Code Misfits.
The better choice.
I'll tell you what, I could go with Gamersubs.
You reckon?
Yeah, I'm fucked.
Yeah, you look pretty tired, mate. You ate quite a few.
Nah, you're sick, mate.
I'm not sick.
I don't trust anyone.
You sound sicker than me.
I don't trust anyone, mate.
Did you ever munch on any edibles last night, mate?
Huh?
Did you ever munch on any edibles last night, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah. You look pretty fucking high right now.
Do I?
Do you want to go get a drink of water, mate?
Yeah, go
grab yourself a Gamersubs.
I'll get a Gamersubs.
Yeah, yeah, no worries.
BRB. AFK. AFK.
He's going AFK.
So, do you think you would... I mean, I didn't watch a lot of SMP Live, but I watched a lot of highlights and shit on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I see on Twitter constantly rumors that it would come back. So it is 100% verified, will never come back.
No, it's never coming back.
You don't want to close the door on it because you want to do it again, I'm sure.
Because it got a fuck ton of views.
It was such a beautiful thing, wasn't it? Like, when it worked, it was magic.
Surely launch a season two and have people vote for people to gain entry, and then Cooper's over there cringing.
Cooper's shaking his head.
What if you did it like a thing where people were voted off of SMP Live?
Twitch chat votes people out.
Imagine Twitch like the actual audience and community. They do. You guys do a weekly poll. Then after a week, somebody leaves the island. You do like a massive island or something.
They're amazing.
It could be so dramatic and it could be so good. There you go, Coop. Now he's smiling and nodding. He's giving thumbs up.
He's just trying to get you to shut the fuck up.
Season two.
I think that Minecraft is not going to go away. It's definitely not going anywhere. It's back in its little lull right now, but it'll come back. And I'm sure when that happens that there'll be some kind of creative idea that'll come out of it. Yeah. And it'll involve Twitch and it'll involve some kind of community. But yeah, we don't know what that looks like. Yeah. We don't want to promise that they're going to bring it back anytime soon.
I don't know. Cooper's over there giving two thumbs up. now they're thumbs down.
Now they're thumbs down. No, we'll just have to see when the timing's right, I guess. Because you don't want to rush back into things. Following SMP Live, you also had this idea to begin a Take It series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which
man.
I was very interested in because I was a huge Take It fan growing up.
The Yogscast.
The Yogscast. Yep. Yogscast. We shared quite a common, I think, interest in the Yogscast, like Take It Series.
Shadow
we're teenagers.
And what was a lot different about that server that we did was that it was a lot of like actual, you know, here's the game plan. Here's what we want to do today. Because it was so much like, you know, we were huge fans of the old school Take It series that the Yogscast used to do. And that was just crazy shit, but like, it was clear that
role play and it's
it's all role play. You know, it's all here's what we're gonna do. You know, here's the general idea.
You script the general idea, and then you fill in the blanks with improv.
What's some crazy shit that happened? Like,
well, let's just explain. Like, first of all, what Take It is. We've talked about quite a few times on the podcast, but Take It is basically a mod pack for Minecraft, which adds a bunch of different mods. A lot of them revolving around industry and like machines. And automation. So, like, you can basically build machines using insane crafting recipes that allow you Minecraft be played for you.
Yeah, so you could build a quarry that mines out a shit ton of shit, and then you could take that shit and then get pipes to take that shit and put it into a furnace or a macerator that grinds up the shit into multiple small shit particulates.
And then you
and then
smelt
you
the
pipe
shit,
that,
you
and then
smelt
smelt
the shit,
shit
and
then
double
then
the ore.
Double the ore. Fuck,
so man. It was just this really fun way to make Minecraft exciting again. You can see things going through pipes. It's crazy.
Buggy as hell, though.
Buggy as hell.
Super buggy.
There was a little exploit we figured out three streams into Tekkit, and there was a little item called the automatic crafting table, and it turns out if you put an item in the automatic crafting table and mined the automatic crafting table, then two would pop out.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Two of that item.
And not only that, but that's that paired with another item in the game called an energy condenser, which basically, there's this mod that attributes value to every item in Minecraft. So a cobblestone block has a value of...
So this is Tekkit with the equivalent exchange mod.
That's right. So like a cobblestone block will have a value of 1, and a diamond will have a value of like 8,000.
Yeah, it's like 8,024.
And if you put a diamond in the energy condenser and fill it up with a bunch of other low-value stuff, you can basically just generate
more. So one diamond would be 8,000 cobblestone.
Exactly.
Or it would be like, 10... gold or whatever.
Yeah, and there are some items that have like a value, an EMC value is what it's called, of like, 80,000,
millions.
Yeah, dark matter, red matter. And the problem with the mod is that it's all just lossless conversion.
Yeah.
Like, you don't lose anything. You just get 8,000 cobblestone.
It's equivalent exchange.
Yeah. So you could just get like a high value item, put like a bit of glass or anything you need in the energy condenser and just make millions of it.
Yeah, it's great for building. Like if you want to build something really big and you can't be fucked going out mining cobblestone, like you just, throw a diamond in the energy condenser, get a few stacks of cobble, and then
you
take what you need.
And then you can put like another diamond back in to get the rest of it, and it's all stored. Yada yada. But basically, you guys figured out a bunch of fucking exploits.
We figured out how to duplicate this shit, and we aptly named it the business machine.
Very good.
And so we would regularly we were obviously just doing it for content, and everything was revolving around bits. And we were improving everything, but like we got a bit cheeky with the business machine, and it was kind of got to this point where anytime we needed anything at all, we were just like, surely we just whip out the business machine. And
we got so complacent with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And as you can expect, when you're kind of cheating like that, the game sort of loses its magic.
The integrity of the game has been completely thrown out the window.
Yeah.
There's one route you can take with Tekkit that just makes the game so boring. And it's the like magic route where you focus on filling up the energy condenser and filling up that book where you can pull anything out.
Yeah.
And it just makes the game so shit.
Yeah.
Because everything is way too
easy. A lot of people don't play with EE.
Yeah, well, we were playing the OG version, and there were definitely a lot of exploits. But, I mean, it was this very fun...
You were trapped in a fucking obsidian box, and you had Technoblade.
Let's talk about everything, because Tekkit had so many shenanigans. It began with the idea that there were different teams, and we'd all kind of set up our base and have a business that we were going to grow.
Yeah.
It was yourself and Connor Eats Pants, and Ty, I believe, as well, sort of in the mix.
And I think... I don't even remember what the fuck we were doing.
Well,
what were we making?
I don't know, but what I do know is that it was myself and Cryos on a team together.
Yeah. Oh, you were bottling swag. You're just selling swag.
Our company was called Clout Co.
Right.
The joke being that, we're big YouTubers, we have some clout, and we're going to bottle it and sell it to all of these puny SMP live streamers. Kidding, obviously. They were getting more views than us at the time, but it was a funny joke. So me and Cryo set up this base, and on the very first stream, Schlatt and Connor decide to just move in and start paying rent in our base. All these funny bits, all this funny improv, and eventually we get to the point where you guys have a base and we have a base, and we start interacting. I think one of the funny, like the first funny interactions we really had was when we started needing food desperately. Myself and Cryos, we were running very low on food, and hunger was a serious issue. And so we go over to Schlatt's base to see what's going on, and we join his VC, and we just start begging for Wagyu steak.
At this point, I'd never had Wagyu before.
No.
So I didn't even know what it was, but I knew it was probably pretty tasty.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, you want some Wagyu fits?
Yeah.
Why don't you take a step inside my Wagyu hut?
That's right.
And so I built a very small enclosure out of wood. And I said, okay, Fitz, come on in. Mm-hmm. And it was me and Fitz. And we just, you know, there was a ritual you had to do.
You dug a hole in the ground, and I got in the hole.
Yeah, and you then, stuck in like one block below
one
us.
One block below.
Yep.
And then you and Connor sort of just stood above me, just throwing, just showering me with meat.
Yeah.
And humming. And like turning the lights on and off. And I was like, you know, this shit was pretty fucking like, you know, we were just literally, it felt like I was reliving my like childhood fantasy of being in the Yogscast, because it really was just goofy improv in a Minecraft setting, that everyone was playing along, and it was very fun. I got my Wagyu, I go home. The next big thing I think that happened on the Take It server was this Technoblade incident, which, I mean, you can walk me through the planning of that.
Yeah, sure. We had, I forget why I wanted him here, but we...
It was because of Minecraft Monday.
Yeah, he was winning every Minecraft every Monday. Week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like something had happened in my company with Schlatt & Co., and so I felt like I had been wronged in some way by because we were competing, right?
That's
you had
right.
Cloud Co., there was another company, and we were competing for something.
Yeah.
Right. That was the general idea. And so I wanted to get an edge on my competitors. So I let everybody down into this obsidian box. I had them all teleported there.
Yeah.
And
deep underground.
Yeah. Deep underground. And then Technoblade just joins the server and starts. And he's completely decked out in the equivalent exchange armor. Like, you can't die.
High powered gear. Yeah. You call him on your phone. You like pretend to call him on your phone. So like all we know is we're gathered in this like intense obsidian box, wondering what Schlatt has in store for us. And then we just hear, okay, I'm just gonna call somebody real quick. Technoblade has joined the server.
Yep.
He spawns in. He's got a laser in his hand, and like there's this moment of silence when everyone's just registering what's going on, and then he just starts firing at us.
Yeah.
And the entire call, there were like 10 to 15 people in the voice channel.
It was an event.
And we're just screaming as Technoblade slaughters us, which is very funny as well. So yeah, I mean, it was kind of just this fun little burst of, I guess, more bit-related Minecraft content.
Yeah,
it was fun to explore.
That was really fucking fun, dude.
Yeah,
like I'd love to, even more than SMP Live. Like that shit is something I still get questions about, because everybody who watched it was like in love with it,
yeah,
pretty much, and I was too.
Let's do it again.
I love it too. It's definitely it's not for everyone. I don't think some people I think really struggle with like the balance of like what's a bit and what's actually focused on the game, because I think like you know, when you are playing on a server, you do want to make progress and you do want to feel like you're playing the game. Like, not everyone can just get a high off of improvising all the time, but man, when it worked, it was like magic.
Yeah,
it was fun. So was I hope we revisit and do something like that again in the future.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah,
I feel like through SMP Live and a lot of really just the culture around that, stands are everywhere now on Twitter. A lot of SMP Live stands.
I'd say so.
What do you think about stand culture? Because you recently did a face reveal, and wasn't the hour after your face reveal you did a tweet, and every single reply was a picture of your face?
Yeah, it was something else. It was very, very unusual, because I face revealed it. Everything kind of happened at the wrong time.
Right.
So it was late September and TwitchCon was about to happen. And so I figured, you know, I'm going to TwitchCon, right? I should probably just show my face. And so there was at the conclusion, basically, you know, my character in SMP Live kind of had a bit of an arc, right? And at where I thought it was a fitting conclusion to this series, I just, you know, right at the end, I just, hey, right, this is what I look like.
Sure.
And so, yeah, about an hour after that, everybody on Twitter who was responding to anyone's tweets in the SMP Live sphere had my face as the profile picture.
And it wasn't even like the same picture. They went through the video and got their own special Schlatt
pose. Oh, yeah. There were hearts around it. Like
flower crowns.
Yeah. Because I was hot, right? I was really, really attractive.
Yeah.
And so,
can you blame him? You know, like that's the thing.
I don't blame him. But it freaked me out because, you know, it's not something people are really built to handle.
No.
And at the same time, I was trying to, you know, be social at TwitchCon, and I'd never met any of these guys in person.
Yeah.
And so it kind of... Mm-hmm.
What was TwitchCon like overall for you as an experience?
It was kind of rough, because I was not comfortable with my face being out there. I hadn't quite built a rapport IRL with any of these guys yet, and so it was kind of a rough experience.
When you say these guys, do you mean like
yeah, like Carson and, okay. and all the people who are now Lunch Club.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just
kind of, as well.
Yeah, I guess that was when you met us as well. Yeah, and I remember you being at our you know, famous TwitchCon party, and you know, I knew that you didn't drink or anything, so a couple times throughout the night I'd be like, how are you feeling? Like, what do you reckon about the situation we're in? And you were just like, yeah, no, I've never experienced anything like this before. And I was like, are you okay? Like, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm fine.
I remember, dude. I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, I remember seeing you for the first time when you got on the party bus with everybody else. We went to the zoo, and you looked. I remember looking at you, and I was bewildered, dude,
because I'd never been on a fucking...
You looked really, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah. I was a little uncomfortable.
For pretty much the entire trip.
I was just trying to see where I fit into everything. And I'm gonna meet the Misfits for the first time, right? And so they show up on a fucking party bus. The windows are completely blacked out.
Yeah, blacked
the
out.
The bus, I walk in and it's got its own fucking atmosphere.
I was just fucked up.
You were not even conscious. And so I walk in and I sit down, and right across from me, I don't know who most of these people are. And, you know, hand comes out, hey, I'm Swagger Souls. Mm. And it's, you know, it's a very cool experience.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure in a lot of ways, like, it probably was cool, but definitely also... you know, when you're meeting any new group for the first time, or you're getting acclimatized to any social situation, like, at least for me, I always kind of want to take a back seat and kind of, how do these people work? You want to figure out how they work first before you start putting yourself prodding. Out there. Yeah.
I like prodding first, and then I get to see how they work.
Yeah, you kind of like poke people and see, you know, how they react to
certain
things.
Call them a faggot.
You know, can they take a joke? You know, things like that.
And then we had the Australia trip basically right after
that.
And that was
you
a little,
had fun for that.
Yeah, no, that was a better experience because it was just more casual.
That was
you know,
so much
there
fun.
Was less going on. Yeah,
less
PAX
social
was,
pressure.
Right. Yeah, I don't even think we went to PAX at all. It was just us chilling.
We went camping, which we talked about
last time.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Very interesting experience. Yeah, and now this is kind of our third time all coming together. Boston and LA,
and it feels just like home.
Feels
know?
Just like home.
Lunch Club X Misfits.
I'm a fucking stoner now.
Right? Yeah, I ship it, dude. I shit.
Right,
you guys are rubbing off on me. I'm gonna become racist next.
Right after the Schlatt hit the joint, I just said like, another life ruined. Let's go. Right, we've got another one, boys. No, of course. I'm sure that Schlatt's not gonna go home and start. Smoking weed every day.
No, surely not.
It took me at least a couple years with the Misfits to get there, so you got plenty of time. You've been taking a bit of a break recently from, at least live streaming and a couple other things. Was that just to kind of deal and dissect that pressure from?
For the most part, yeah. It's been kind of rough since then, trying to get back into the rhythm because you've said this countless times, Fitz, but like it's very momentum based. It's like you're pushing a car up a hill, right? And so the second you start to, you know,
slow down or
give it like a week, that's when it can start to slip away.
Yeah.
And you know, it I'm trying to take my time and you know, feel things out, and then I'll come back when I'm feeling a little more comfy, I guess.
Absolutely.
But it's mostly just been a break from streaming. So I'm still on YouTube. I'm still, you know, I'm still putting stuff out there. It's just the live aspect has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The live aspect's definitely different.
Once
you do start taking a break, it's very easy to be like, your hand kind of hovers over the go live button and you're like, I can't do it. You know, I can definitely relate to that. Although I also think that it's very smart that you've just decided that you needed to take some time. I've done very much a similar thing lately. And you know, I mean, you had such success last year, and you know you're still very successful now. Like, people are wondering, what's Schlatt up to? Like, what's Schlatt gonna do next? You can afford to take a bit of time, you know, just figure it out. Definitely pays to just stop and just examine how far you've come, and then figure out where you want to go from here.
Yeah, and I have been 100%, you know, looking at my situation and saying, okay, what went wrong here, and what can I afford to fix? So, for example, I think it's very unhealthy that we work out of the same space we relax at and we sleep at.
That's why
separate your office and bedroom.
Yeah. 100%.
When the Misfits got an office, that's why I work from the office. Cause it's like I would be at home
streaming all day, and then it's like there's no separation there. And as soon as I started working at the office, just that ritual of driving home after streaming was enough to get me in that rhythm of like, right. All right, now it's time to relax.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you stop working and then you just roll into bed.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, it's good to have that separation. Yeah, you guys started in a house, right?
Yeah. Starting in a bedroom.
These guys did. Yeah.
So how was when you guys got the Misfits house at first? How would you say it compares to the office setup you guys have?
Well, it's like you're living in a dorm room, you know, essentially. I mean, we had our shared space. We had, our living room, our kitchen, and all of that. But it didn't feel like it was very personally mine. It didn't feel like it was very personally anybody's. It was all kind of communal. So you go upstairs, you're in your room, you do your work right next to your bed. You go to sleep. The lights are still on. Your fucking monitor's still going. And, you know, oh, wait, did I get a message? I have to check something. Yeah. You're going back out. You can't get sleep.
Yeah.
You know, it's
very consuming, it seemed like.
It very much felt like I was living in a college dorm while I was there. Now, having your own place, I got my own place. Now I have an office separated from a bedroom. I have my kitchen, and everything's mine. So ever since I got there, like work-wise, it's been way better for my mental health.
How did you feel about the Misfits house, Mason? Looking back, like, what was your experience living there?
I mean, it was cozy, but like, it's no different to being at home because I was still like playing and streaming in my room.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, I've never really played in an office or streamed in an office.
True. I mean, you've always been a bedroom gamer, I guess.
Yeah.
It wasn't too much.
Yeah, that's the thing. Mason and I moved from our parents' house to the Misfits house. So it wasn't that much of a change.
The main thing about the Misfits house and about any house in general when you're living with your friends is just, you know, people have different personalities. People want different things, and some people are very social and some people just want to like go home and just be in their room, you know. So like
me.
You mean?
Always, I said like me.
Oh, like you. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
My door was always locked.
Yeah. I mean, there's just conflicting things going on, and like, I don't know. It just it makes it more complicated, especially when you throw in the work element.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty good that we're now at a place where it's more like,
everyone needs their own space. Yeah. If you're working, like if you're in a group, content houses are odd. Because if you have no place to go to recede, like your bedroom is like your temple, but it's also your workstation. And your roommates are also your friends, but they're also your coworkers.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like your friends are also two other things, and then your bedroom is also your office, and
it gets a little bit
complicated.
And obviously, normally when you live with your friends, it's like during the day you'll go to work, you know, like everyone has that separation away from each other every day. But when you work with your friends and you also live with those same friends, there is no separation ever.
And you're gamers, so there's just Uber Eats bags everywhere. Yeah. And fucking
We had a wall, dude. We had a wall of like Uber Eats bags every week.
Yeah.
Towards the end, we started getting groceries and I would cook shit. But then by that point, it was just pretty much me and Toby living there.
Mm. Mm. Although, despite everything, there are some very, very fond memories created.
Incredibly. You know? When Jay threw the tortilla, filled with ketchup at the white cabinet, when you wrote cunt on the marble bench and literally seared the word in, he wrote it in with ketchup, and the acetic acid ate away at the gloss on the marble bench.
Yeah.
So it just said cunt. As big as can be. We had to cover it up with computer parts for inspection.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as like we're all glad to have our own space now, I don't think any of us would like take back the time at Misfits House.
No, I wouldn't trade my current house for Misfits House at all.
Yeah,
and I, you know, eventually we will have a space to commune at once more.
Mm.
It's just our office is now gone.
Absolutely, but enough about
houseless and offices.
Enough about our future. Like, I want to know what's next for Schlatt.
What's next for you, Schlatt?
On the cards?
Besides marijuana,
besides just addiction, smoking weed every single day. No, but. Like, that was I really liked your point, Toby, about, like, yeah, you have friends, but, like, you still go to work, right? And so I noticed when I was at my most productive was when I still was in school or still, you know, was working an internship, like a 9-to-5. And I'd come home and I'd say, okay, here's the time when I can actually do the YouTube or Twitch side of things.
Yeah.
And the second all that stuff stopped – which is, you know, around the time when I went to TwitchCon and around the time where, you know, I started slowing down a little bit. Mm. That was the time when I was like, okay, I'm doing this. This is it now, right? Like, well, this is what I do.
You have to set your hours.
Exactly. And I didn't. And I didn't. And I got up and I rolled out of bed and I said, I have all day to do this. Yeah. Why and am I not getting more done? Mm-hmm. And that was pretty, you know, pretty very stressful.
You say you have to set hours for yourself. You have to actually clock in and out and, you know, work a certain amount of hours doing something related to YouTube or Twitch or whatever. And then the rest of the day you go and then just clock out and relax.
Yeah. What it is really is just like the jarring lack of structure around you, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like you're so used to being in a structured environment like school or work where it's like you go here, this is what I do, these are the hours, like this is my responsibility.
Everything's set for you. But, and you know, when you're doing it, you have to set it for yourself.
Yeah. And no one's going to hold you to it.
No, no, besides you. So either you don't work enough as a result of not being able to set your hours, or you work way too much. Yes. As a result.
And that balance, I think, is like just, it sums up the YouTuber conundrum, you know? Yeah. And obviously, everyone jokes, like, how could you complain? You're a YouTuber, you get to play games for a living. And yeah, that's all true, but
You edit over games, man.
You're like, also, you're also fucking young, you know? And like, you're figuring it out, and you're trying to balance your life, and that's important too, so.
Yep.
And so, it's something I've been working on, right? And so what might be next is coming down to the West Coast, maybe for a bit, and trying out a you know, like an office space area where all the lunch club guys would come to and get their work done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having my own place.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. Like we always said, even when we had the Misfits house, before we got that, it was the end goal was always live in the same city, but have our own places and have a communal place that we work together. Because that just seems like the healthiest way to do it.
My idea. I have to say, my idea from the very beginning. No, that's that sounds very exciting for Lunch Club. I'm very curious to see what that will do. Travis is off screen smiling. Cooper's excited. Big things coming down the line, I reckon.
Big things.
Is there anything else you want to... We have to wrap up the show. We got to get on a flight. We're leaving today, unfortunately. But is there anything that you wanted to say or bring up on the show?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my spiel out about coronavirus.
The Chinese government.
The Chinese government, one-child policy.
Look
at the birth rates of China versus Japan and see how, you know, the coronavirus would completely wipe out Japan. But all China has to do is just get rid of the old people and they've got a fresh new country.
Wake up, sheeple. All right.
Wake up.
Exactly.
Wake up.
Keep your eyes open.
Keep your eyes open.
Don't trust
anyone.
Keep
your mouth closed. Don't touch your face.
Quarantine yourself. Build a bunker. And we'll see you guys next week.
And drink gamersups.
And drink gamersups.
Gamer
Obviously, check out Jay Schlatt.
Yes.
Jay Schlatt.
Everywhere. Check out Lunch Club.
Lunch Club. Jay Schlatt.
You can
check
find
it out.
Google
just fucking
it.
Google it, idiots.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.